It's one of Bach's flashiest cantatas, but its spectacular bookends sometimes overshadow the deeply emotional intimacy of the middle. You'll hear the flash and the intimacy of the cantata number 51, Jauchzet Gott in allen Landen, coming up on the Bach Hour. Hello, I'm Brian McCreath, and welcome to the Bach Hour from Classical New England, a service of WGBH. The cantata number 51 is one of the very few of Bach's cantatas that can be called truly popular in the broadest sense. It's also a piece that very likely held a special place among the cantatas for the composer himself, and for very personal reasons. You'll hear more about that in a bit. And in the meantime, if you'd like a translation of the text for the cantata 51, you'll find it by visiting us online at classicalnewengland.org, where this and past programs are available on demand. Again, that's at classicalnewengland.org. Also coming up on the program today, we'll visit one of the great pipe organs of Boston for a majestic example of Bach's writing for the instrument he called home. First, though, here's something on the other end of the scale. This is guitarist David Russell with Bach's Lute Suite No. 4. Thank you. If that music sounded familiar to you, you may have heard it in its original form as the Partita No. 3 for solo violin. After writing that piece, Bach transcribed it for the lute, which was the basis for this performance by Scottish guitarist David Russell. There's an odd dichotomy when it comes to the roughly 200 surviving sacred cantatas by Bach. On the one hand, these are pieces so clearly central to Bach's work and identity as a composer, and they represent, as a body, one of the supreme achievements of any composer. But they're also among his least known pieces, modern audiences being much more familiar with the orchestral suites and the concertos, for instance. But the cantata No. 51 is an exception. Jauchzet Gott in allen Landen, or Exult in God in Every Land, is both an immensely popular work and one that embodies all of the musical and theological significance as the other lesser-known pieces. It was probably written in 1729 for a private performance, with a virtuosic part for a solo soprano and an equally virtuosic solo trumpet part. That lineup is unique in Bach's music and probably reflects his admiration of Italian cantatas of the Baroque, like those of Alessandro Scarlatti. As the piece begins, it's off to the races with an exuberant trumpet line to set up the words from the soloist, "Exult in God in every land. Whatever creatures are contained by heaven and earth must raise up this praise." But that burst of thanks changes dramatically for the second movement, a prayerful recitative that sets up one of Bach's most beautifully intimate arias on the words, "Highest, renew your goodness every morning from now on." It's a sweet introspection of the sort you don't want to end, but of course it does, and Bach brings us out of it gently, with a short, grounding, chorale-based movement, before launching back into exuberance for a last movement with a one-word text, Alleluia. You can find a complete translation of this piece by visiting us online at classicalnewengland.org. Here's a performance of the cantata No. 51, Jauchzet Gott in allen Landen, or Exult in God in Every Land, with soprano Malin Hartelius and trumpeter Niklas Eklund, with the English Baroque soloists directed by John Elliott Gardiner, here on The Bach Hour. Oh, It's not too much of a stretch to imagine that J.S. Bach had more than a theological affection for his cantata number 51, Jauchzet Gott in allen Landen, or Exult in God in Every Land. His young wife, Anna Magdalena, was by all accounts a fine soprano, and her father had been a trumpeter. It was also the case that one of Bach's most reliably brilliant musicians in Leipzig was the trumpeter Gottfried Reicha, who almost surely was the original soloist in the cantata 51, maybe even with Anna Magdalena. So the combination of soprano and trumpet may have held a bit of extra meaning for the composer, especially for a work of joy, intimacy, and praise. This performance of the cantata number 51 featured a couple of Swedish soloists. Malin Hartelius was the soprano, and Niklas Eklund played the trumpet, with the English Baroque soloists in a concert performance in Bremen, Germany, during the Bach cantata pilgrimage of conductor John Elliott Gardiner. Boston is a city filled with great pipe organs, and one of the more recent additions to this constellation of magnificent instruments resides at First Lutheran Church in the Back Bay. That's where Richard Fowkes & Company installed their Opus 10, a North German-style tracker organ, in 2000, with an expansion in 2009. Here is organist Balint Carossi at that instrument, with the prelude and fugue in E-flat, known as the St. Anne.
Thank you.
Organist Balint Karosi is originally from Hungary, and in 2008 he took first prize at the 16th Johann Sebastian Bach competition in Leipzig. You heard Karosi at the Richards Fauchs & Company organ at First Lutheran Church in Boston with the Prelude and Fugue in E-flat by Bach, a piece known as the Saint Anne due to the fugue subject's similarity to the hymn tune Saint Anne, which is also known as Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. Thank you for joining me today, and thanks also to audio engineer Alan Mattis. The executive producer of this program is Benjamin K. Rowe, Managing Director for Classical Services at WGBH. I'm Brian McCreath, and I'll hope to have your company again next week here on The Bach Hour.